The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
It's on every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Central. We call it Mission Minded. He's one of our best friends here on Tony Curry Radio, the TKR app. Thanks to tens of thousands of folks who have downloaded the TKR app and listened to Mission Minded live every single week right here on the TKR app. And then, of course, you can go to wherever you get the Tony Curry Radio podcast. That's Curry with a K. And you can listen to all of our previous episodes. He's Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank, formerly, of course, of the Jimmy Hill Mission. Michael, what's been going on, man? How are you doing? You enjoying this beautiful fall so far?
Yeah, we are a little rain deficit here in Alabama, but I do enjoy this time of the year where it starts to transition. The heat's not quite as bad. But yeah, the weather's beautiful, and it's just a good time of year for us.
Current temperature in your house right now. Don't tell me you've turned the heat on yet. So I told my son, I said it was 64 degrees last night. He's like, Dad, turn the heat on. I'm like, nope, we don't do it. Guys, don't do that. We're going to go as long as we can without having to crank the heat on. I said, if I can go like 30 or 45 days, I said, it's a win. He's like, is it that expensive? I said, no, it's just a matter of trying to do it is what it is.
You know what I mean? It's like when we get into a car on a trip and all the gold becomes, how quick can we get there?
Absolutely. It's just what we do. All right. So you sent me a really cool email, and this really struck me at the heart. So when I was 16 years old, I was already in radio, right? Yeah. And WLW, which is the flagship station, the number one station in the country, it was a voice of America. It was a 500,000-watt stick out of Cincinnati, Ohio. You can hear it down here in Birmingham and all over the United States. You can hear it in 48 of the contingent United States of America outside of Hawaii, obviously. And so I showed up at their Christmas party with eight 9-volt batteries, and I put the positives to the negatives, and I hooked up some Christmas lights to it, and I put Christmas lights around my neck, and I walked in with this battery contraption. It only lasts for about 30 to 35 minutes before the lights go out. So the chief engineer at WOW came to me and said, man, how did you come up with this idea? And I don't remember how I did it. And he goes, I'll bet you could do some engineering here at LW. Now, obviously, I was already on the air, and I said, yeah, I probably could. He goes, what would you say about coming out and setting up remotes for the radio station? We'll pay you $50 a pop. And they had like three or four of those a week, and I'm thinking, that's great. So he said, well, certainly if you can put this contraption together, you can figure out how to set up a remote. Well, I showed up like at a Kroger or something, I forget it, and Jim Scott was the personality at the time. He was big time up there. And he told me to set up the remote. Well, I had no clue what I was doing. You had to go through a phone line, take the green wire and the yellow wire. You had to cross this. You had to set this. I had no idea how to set up a remote. And of course, I act like I knew exactly what I was doing. And and somehow I figured it out like 3 minutes before we went on the air for this live remote. So the whole saying is act like you've been there before. You know, I got backstage to many shows. People knew who I was. I didn't have backstage pass. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm bringing the band on tonight. And I just walk right through. They're like, act like you've been there before. So I want to get into an imposter syndrome, and you actually sent this, and I think it's fantastic. The first thing you think of imposter syndrome, what's your thought process? Because this is the silver lining of the imposter syndrome, and that is the highest form of self-confidence is believing in your ability to learn. But when you really don't know what in the world you're doing, tell me a little bit about how you feel about this, those two words, imposter syndrome.
Well, it came to mind, this guy named Adam Grant, sent this out in a meme form over LinkedIn, and I'll read it for the audience. It says imposter syndrome. Says, I don't know what I'm doing. It's only a matter of time before everyone finds out. And a growth mindset says, I don't know what I'm doing yet. It's only a matter of time until I figure it out. And so it says the highest form of self-confidence is believing in your ability to learn. And this spoke to me on so many levels because I've encountered people exactly like this that are just riddled with insecurities, but they are projecting themselves as a know-it-all and I can do it all, and they go into a situation and they're in over their head, and it's just a matter of time before they're exposed. And and you think, well, why don't people just, even if they're at the top, like a CEO position, what's wrong with saying, hey, I don't like, when I came into the food bank, I'm like, well, I'm confident that I can run an organization because I have past history of that. But I didn't know anything about food banking. But that's what I led with. I said, hey, I'm here. I need everybody's help. I'm going to make some mistakes along the way. But I'm going to learn it. I'm capable of learning it. And we're going to grow this thing and we're going to do dynamic things. I'm confident I can get there. But I can't do that going in until I kind of learn the heart of it. And I think it gave me self-confidence because I knew that I could learn, but I didn't want to run this fake persona like I had all the answers. And so I got to think, well, why is it that we have so many imposters out there? Well, people have lots of insecurities. And one of those is they're afraid of letting people know what they don't know. And I've seen leaders try to project themselves and just fail time and time again. And I think the more transparent we are in life, even with our failures, even with our brokenness, it is just a better situation. I have found that my employees, when I tell them, hey, I don't have all the answers, I need help, it helps them relate to me. It's not me lording my position over them. I'm leading them, but they know that I'm subject to mistakes. But when I make mistakes or I'm trying to figure out something, I just say, hey, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm doing the best I can. I think the fear portrays weakness, but it's just all the opposite. People appreciate when you're vulnerable with them. I go all the way back to the beginning of our shows, and that was one of the things that I talked about as leaders today. Lack such vulnerability because we're afraid of people won't follow us, or that people will lose confidence in us, or that people will take advantage of that vulnerability. And this really spoke to me here about a growth mindset is, hey, we're going to figure this out. We're going to do it all together. I'm going to lead this effort. I know that I can learn it and figure it out. But I'm going to be a transparent person along the way. And I've just found that in every aspect of business and leading organizations, that transparency and being vulnerable is always the best.
He's Michael Coleman. Of course, he is the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank. They cover 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. This is Mission Minded. It runs every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Also, info@tonycurryradio.net if you have email questions for Michael or myself. And you can also check us out on the Tony Curry Radio podcast platform. Just look up TKR podcast or just Tony Curry Radio podcast and go to Audio Boom. You'll see it all. You know, it's interesting because I did some research over the last couple of days. I know Tom Hanks, who had already won a couple of Oscars, said he had the imposter syndrome when he was around Paul Newman filming a movie. I forget who the director was. There was a great story in 60 Minutes a couple of years ago about a guy who had gotten like over $400 or $500 million in financing to direct these movies, and no one knew who this guy was. And he was showing up at the biggest movies and the red carpet had the most beautiful women on his arm. And no one knew who this guy was, but he was so full of it that he could just pull off anything. And of course he got caught eventually because all that money was gone and the movies never got made. But I mean, what's the difference between being very confident in yourself and also being narcissistic when it comes to being an imposter?
Well, I will tell you, because that comes up actually when somebody's narcissistic, they're not somebody that you can communicate and talk about their failures. Somebody who's narcissistic has a really difficult time discussing and owning their failures. And lots of times they feel like, it must be somebody else's fault, or even in the heart, if they might know, they will never own it. And so somebody who's narcissistic props themselves up because they know that they can't show any weakness. They can't show any cracks because they do not have the capability to take ownership. Now I will tell you how I feel now, not at all trying to be political, but I think it's very evident that one of the most narcissistic individuals, whether you agree with his policies, which I agree with some of his policies and I disagree. But
Donald Trump is trying to soften the blow.
Donald Trump is the greatest narcissist that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime he would take criticism, somebody would criticize him, and it would be even somebody that he complimented.
Yeah.
But not only is somebody criticized him, but snubbed him in some way that he felt like, hey, you should be. I've even heard him say things like, this person should be kissing my ass as much as I've done for them. And so he's elevated himself up here. And if you don't kiss the ring with him, or if you don't pay him proper respect, at least as far as he doesn't know how to process that. He doesn't know how to let that go. So what does he do? He attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody who points out a vulnerability attacks. Now, let's bring that down to just not a huge corporation like the Trump organization. Let's just bring it down to leaders and smaller organizations like where I am. You have regular interactions with your staff, and you're leading your staff, and you've got to be open to the idea that what you may be doing, whether it's intentional or unintentional, is you may be hurting morale of the staff. You may be making decisions that are affecting others in a negative way, or affecting the organization as a whole in a negative way. And so to create an environment to where you feel like, well, nobody can come correct me, nobody can come call me and say I'm wrong, then it's kind of the whole emperor has no clothes situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Trump just lives in this world, or appears to be anyway, living in this world that everything he does is right and he makes no mistakes. That one of the greatest things that stood out to me that he's ever said was, they were talking to him about his faith and asked him, well, what did he repent of? And he said, nothing. I've never repented of anything. And it was mind-boggling to me, the idea that a man could look over the course of his life, been through several marriages and had several mistresses and everything else, and had filed several bankruptcies and all that, and he never could just look at something and say, you know, I've really wasn't the parent, or I really wasn't the husband, or I really wasn't the business owner, or I really wasn't as ethical, whatever it is. But the idea that anybody could look at their life and not come up with something is troubling. And then to be threatened by the fact that somebody else does it, that you don't have anybody in your life. And so my approach has just been, hey, I am going to be open, and anybody in this organization who sees me acting contrary to what I've stated is either my goals or my policies or the ethos that I'm establishing here, when you see me acting contrary to that, or you think it's contrary, you are free to come to my office and talk to me about it one-on-one. Now, I prefer you not call me out in front of a group of people or visitors or something mm-hmm. like that. But I'm genuinely interested in being consistent, and knowing me as I am, sometimes I could say or do something that at least at a minimum might appear to be inconsistent, and sometimes maybe. And so I want to surround myself not with yes men and women, but with people who we're all pulling in the same direction. And so I have to be accountable, just like I hold other people on staff accountable.
Michael Coleman is the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank, does a wonderful job, covers 35 counties in the great state of Alabama, works with Feeding America. And we had a great show, by the way, if you want to podcast it, about what Joe Biden was talking about ending U.S. hunger in 2030. And President Michael Coleman had some interesting things to say about that. You can listen to that show again wherever you get your podcast, on the Tony Curry Radio podcast, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Okay, I'm going to make a very broad revelation here.
Okay.
The old fake it till you make it, when I think about imposters, and again, there's many different ways to look at being an imposter. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And we just obviously talked about Donald Trump. I believe in this world that we have lost a lot of our spirit and our spirituality and our spiritual growth, in that if you're really good at what you do and you are so full of it and you're narcissistic enough that people will start believing you. People don't want to be leaders anymore. They want to follow. That's why you can get on a Facebook group and start a group of divorced women who have pit bulls that love to bowl. And you'll have 1,000 people following you by tomorrow because people want to be part of something bigger. They are so insecure in themselves. They want to be part of a bigger thing, even when they know maybe it's wrong. Do you see that? Because, I mean, I had a friend of mine. And I'm not going to mention him by name, but he was a workout guy, workout buff. And you may remember the story. And man, he looked fantastic, very attractive guy. And he started this whole chip thing where there were pain chips. And it was a little sticker. And somehow he got involved in the PGA and the NBA and college football. I don't know how he did it. He just would walk in and act like he owned the place. And he got universities. He got PGA golfers to endorse his products. He was showing up at golf tournaments and the thing was nothing. There was nothing. It was a sticker. But people were sitting there swearing that they felt better and their back pain was gone. And all of a sudden they didn't have migraine headaches anymore because they put one on the back of their neck. And then it blew up because they analyzed the thing and found out that it was just a basically sticker. But I just remember thinking to myself, this guy rolled that thing for 3 years. And I think he actually started believing his own crap. I mean, I really do. I think after a while you start believing your own lies. So are we in a better place now than we were, say, 20 or 30 years ago? Because it seems like everyone just wants to be part of something bigger and they will believe any. I mean, look at the cults we have in this country.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Can you kind of expound on that?
Well, I do think that there's a real desire for leadership and somebody who presents a vision and does it, I think, in a healthy way can get an organization behind them. I think, unfortunately, though, when people don't have a vision, and I think I saw something one time like true visionaries like are 2% of the population. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do think people come into organizations and sometimes they can only see right in front of them the day to day. And so after a while, you know, that's people want to know, hey, where are we going? What's my future here? And I do think there's special characteristics that leaders should have and be able to paint that vision and tell people where they fit into it, where's the organization going, what's their vision for it at least, and where these employees fit into that. Because if not, any organization that's not looking 2 to 5 years out and where they're going is going to tend to get stale and tend to just kind of settle in at where they are and kind of plateau. And I don't think that's healthy for an organization. We know that there's all sorts of people. They've made movies about them. I just watched the Dateline the other night. About a man killed his wife, was a psychologist and had lots of money, but had a bad coke habit. So he's leading out there, ends up killing his wife because of his coke habit and everything else. But he was leading this persona that, hey, I'm qualified to do this. I can fix other people, but I'm really broken inside. And while I bring that up, let me speak to this. We don't like talking about the specifics, at least, of where we're broken inside. And I come from the spiritual belief that we are all broken. Now, my brokenness may manifest itself differently than your brokenness. But I think people will still accept you as a leader, especially if you're willing to identify with them and say, yeah, I've got my issues. I've got my brokenness. So I don't stand before you and say, follow me because I've got all the answers or because I'm going to be perfect or I'm not going to make mistakes. And that's part of the journey. But what I will do is I will cast a vision. I will share with you and communicate with you how to get there. I will empower you to be a part of that journey, not just follow, but actually have an active role. And I will give you the tools you need. I will give you the training that you need. I'll give you the support that you need to be successful. And so it's offering somebody to be part of something greater than themselves. But don't look to me as being the savior, because I've got too much brokenness in me, just like you do. But together we can do this. And I think if we could just talk more about, like I said, I'm not talking about a therapy session where you're just out there and you just vomit out to your employees all the things you struggle with in life. But I think that's they know that's where they are. And so to relate to them and help them relate to your challenge, hey, I want to lead this organization, but I don't want to present to you that I'm perfect and I've got it all figured out. So I like the growth mindset, which is, hey, I don't know exactly where we're going yet, but I'm looking at it and I'm gonna figure this out. And it's a matter of time before I do that. And I'm gonna share with you and invite you along on this journey, rather than somebody who comes in and just says, you just need to trust me, follow me. And you never really get past that surface. You don't really get to know the person. And that person's never going to let you see what's going on in their life because they're too much of a narcissist to ever even deal with their issues, much less deal with it in a way that others can talk about it or communicate about it. And again, the whole fallacy is if I don't talk about it, the people won't see it. And that's what's so bad is the people still see where everybody still sees Donald Trump's narcissism, and it doesn't inspire confidence to me. It really takes away that if this man doesn't feel he does anything wrong, then where could that take us?
Yeah.
As a nation.
Well, a lot of times people are just looking at the bottom line too, and they may not like the way he acts or what he says, but as long as they're doing better with him in the office and they're okay with voting for that. This is Mission Minded here with Michael Coleman, not to get political by any stretch. Michael Coleman, of course, the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. You can hear this show every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time, wherever you're listening. We have people all over this Birmingham area, state of Alabama, the United States, and Mexico City is always big for us. Charlotte, North Carolina. We got people in Yemen, our Ukrainian brothers and sisters, big listeners of Tony Curry Radio as well. And of course, you can also podcast. So Dr. Josh, I'm blessed to have worked with him for almost 5 or 6 years every single day. He always talks about reading the room. You know, you want to be honest with people. We're business associates, but you know a lot of personal things. We had a conversation before we started the show today, and I feel very comfortable feeding things and talking to you about things because we're brothers, but we do business together. But when you're talking about the word imposter, if I say the word imposter, a lot of people look at it pretty negatively. Now, you saw this post on LinkedIn, which is interesting enough, because most people are on LinkedIn to make those business decisions, relationships. Maybe they're looking for jobs. There's a whole different thing on LinkedIn where you can actually get a job. It's kind of like monster.com or Indeed. And a lot of people would just say, listen, no matter what it takes, get the job and then figure it out later. And I would assume that, you know, we all want to write our resume and we want to make it look as good as possible. Some people maybe have had two jobs in their lives, but they'll get a 4-page resume out of it.
Right.
What are your thoughts as a CEO? You've been in business for a long period of time. I know it's for non-for-profit, but you know, some for-profit stuff as well. But what would you say to people that are like, hey, listen, man, if I can fudge just a little bit, embellish to get the job, and I know that I'm confident enough in the ability to learn that job, it's okay. Is that all right with you?
Well, that really is a tough question. So I will tell you, there are times when I was in the military, so this was a really specific problem.
Yeah.
So there were two groups, two organizations. And I felt like that the people I was evaluating was better than the people next door to me. And they're fighting for the same promotions. And I was going to do an honest evaluation, but the people next door were not. They were inflating their evaluations. And I said, you know, when that goes before a promotion board in the Army, my guys are going to be at a disadvantage. I'm trying to do honest evaluations, but they're inflating there. So what did I do? I said, I'm not going to hurt my guys. I'm going to embellish and make them walk on water because they were better. So, you know, I look at it and go, you know, in some cases, is it justified? I always put my best foot forward. And obviously when I'm applying for jobs, and I always, you want to make it sound like that, hey, you know, I did this thing and it really, here's the huge impact of it. And probably all of that to some degree is an embellishment because you're putting it in the best light. I really don't have a problem with I want people to be confident, but I think you just come out much better when you go into a job interview and say, here's where I'm strong. I'm not as strong there, but let me tell you something. You're never going to have anybody who is more open to learning and is going to work harder to master this skill than I will. I think that's because what you're saying is you don't have it all figured out, but you're going to, and as an employer, that's what I want. I mean, we were just talking about this the other day, and it comes up all the time. I'm like, give me somebody who's got a heart and a passion for the people we serve. You know, I don't care. I can teach them anything else. I can teach them all the procedures. I can teach them the techniques. Give me somebody that's passionate and just wants to be here and wants to serve people in the food banking industry to rid society or rid our area specifically of food insecurities and things like that. And I think, at least for me, I know there's others who probably have a vastly different opinion, but when I'm hiring somebody, I want to see that passion and I want to see a truthfulness in that, hey, here's the skills that I have and here's where I've utilized these skills. But if I ask them for something specifically, I would just prefer them say, you know, I haven't done a lot of that, but you're never going to find anybody who's more committed, more apt to learn, more willing to learn, and it shouldn't take me long to master the skill because I'm a very quick learner. You know, we were talking about the interviews, trying to think of the name. It's almost like there's a new scam going where people are going and doing interviews for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hired out there, and then what ends up happening is what happened with a story I think I told where this guy goes in and they're like, hey, he didn't have any of the skills he talked about. Well, they found out somebody else came and he had hired somebody to come do the interview. But then when he showed up on the job, he kind of had that mindset. Well, it blew up quickly. And I just don't think that's that whole make it till you fake it. Yeah, that may be for one or two little things. But I just, as a policy, I think it's much better to be transparent about what your skill sets are and what they're not, but then project that, hey, that skill that I don't have is not beyond my ability to learn, and I'm willing to learn it, want to learn it, and feel like in a short time I'd master it. And then that way, when you're making mistakes along the way, you haven't built yourself up to an unrealistic expectation and performance level.
Well, and guys are probably the worst at it, and I'll use an analogy here where I think the imposter syndrome is probably the largest. Dating apps. I mean, how many guys are out there going, listen, I don't look the way she wants me to look. I don't have the build she wants me to look. I don't make the money she thinks I make. But if I can just get a date with her, I think I could win her over. And next thing you know, they've been married for 30 years. I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, you know, glass of wine, walks on the beach, all that garbage. Just get me a first date with this woman and I can win her over. And God bless.
But that, you know, even when you fake it, regardless of what happens after, there's always the day of reckoning. And sometimes it works out where she can get past the looks or whatever, or but sometimes it blows up magnificently. And so I just think as a percentage, you're just going to come out better in life to be who you are. Understand where your strengths are, understand where your weaknesses are, but just have a spirit that says, hey, I want to make a difference with this company. I think most people will be fine overcoming that.
I had a friend of mine who was not a particularly good looking guy. He looked like he ran a 50-yard dash in a 40-yard gym is what he did. But he would go out with us and he would hit on the best looking women in the bars every single time we went out. And I said, dude, I love you. I think you're a great guy. You have a great personality, but there's no way you're going to get that. And he goes, listen, if I hit on 10 of them, I'm guaranteed to get at least one to give me a shot. And he did. Every time he went out, he was always seen with these beautiful women. I'm thinking, what in the world? Hey, Michael, great show, man. Thanks for bringing us the topic here, the imposter syndrome. Greatly appreciate you. You can listen to the show if you missed any part of it. Mission Mind at 10 o'clock, a central time, every Monday through Friday right here on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio. And if you like the show, and why wouldn't you, info@tonycurryradio.net. Drop your emails and listen to us anytime, wherever you get your podcast. We're on every major industry out there. Just search Mission Mind or Tony Curry Radio Podcast. You can listen to Michael Coleman, CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank. Michael, as always, thank you so much, man. Great show.
Hey, enjoy the show.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.